Good morning. Merry Christmas. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. I know at our house, Christmas is still going on as our kids continue to see commercials on TV and tell us of presents that they wish they had received for Christmas. And so we are making multiple trips back and forth to the stores, returning things that they didn't like, getting things that we think they like, but we'll find in their closet a week from now that they're done playing with. But Christmas is behind us, and of course we'll be undecking the mall here shortly after service. But the new year is upon us, and with that brings new beginnings. But before we do that, we are actually going to be concluding our sermon series that began 14 weeks ago. I know it was a wonderful series as we covered the lives of many individuals. The title of this sermon series was Every Life, a Story Worth Telling. We began with the life of Adam and how the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We learn that God destined him to play an important role in the plan of God. We took a journey through the Word and discussed men and women alike, Rebecca, Samson, David, and Esther, to name a few. And I hope all those names and then some ring a bell. Even if you may not have been able to attend every service, many of these stories of these characters in the Bible that we studied, you know. Here we are today about to embark on a new year, and it is only fitting that we conclude this series by examining our own life. This is an interactive Sunday service, so this is going to require participation on your part. I'm going to ask you a few questions. What's your story? What's your story? Is it a story worth telling? Now, before I ask the next question, I want you to know that we are going to take 30 seconds after I ask that question to stop and reflect and really ponder and think about what you would say and how you would answer this question. Now, many of you were on social media yesterday, and you kind of got a sneak preview as to what this question is. Here it is. What if there was a book added to the Bible that spoke of your life? What would it say? How would it read? Stop and think about that. If somebody was going to read the book of Gilbert, or the book of Keith, or the book of Josh, or the book of Mike, what would it say? If people didn't get the opportunity to meet you in person and hear your story, what would they read about? When I was thinking about that question, I actually sat back and I thought about my own life. What is my story? How does my story add to the plan and kingdom of God? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, I want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have to come and meditate upon your word. God, I pray that your word penetrates our hearts and minds. I pray, God, that your word, being sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces through our soul. God, I pray that we take these words to heart, that we allow your word to transform our life, that we embrace the message this morning. God, I pray that you speak through me. I pray, God, that I step out of the way and I allow your spirit to move this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that your people are attentive and ready to receive what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Everyone has a story. Some people have a story worth telling. Some people have stories they would rather not tell. The decisions you make today will determine the stories you tell tomorrow. A successful life is not made up of a few big decisions, but of hundreds and hundreds of small ones. What will your story be?
How many of you love a good story? I would say that's the majority of you. But I know that we all love a good story. And many of those stories begin with the phrase, I've got to tell you about the time when. I know many of my stories begin that way too. And the great news is that every one of you has a story to tell. You may not realize it now, but I hope by the end of service you do. Here are some phrases that you might have spoken yourself. Let me tell you about the time there was a problem and I overcame it. Let me tell you about the time I set a goal and accomplished it. Let me tell you about the time I made a right decision. I find myself saying this next one a lot. Let me tell you about the funny time that I did something really, really stupid. Whatever it may be, those are phrases that we may have shared at one point in our life. We've got stories that we love to tell. But unfortunately, many of us have stories that we'd rather leave out. There are times where we have chapters in our lives where we wish they didn't exist in our story. Sometimes what we would do is we would try to alter what that chapter was about when sharing it. Sometimes we may lie a little bit or just blatantly omit certain things that happened in our past as part of our story because we're ashamed and we really wish that those instances have never been a part of our life. What's so interesting to me is as I think back over my life, I realize that there were so many seemingly insignificant decisions that had a significant impact on my life. As we just saw in the video, many times we think those big decisions that we are faced with is what forms who we are. But the reality is it's these everyday decisions that we make, that constitutes your character, that constitutes who you really are. Think about it this way. The decisions that we made yesterday determine the stories that we'll tell today. And as we approach this new year, I want you to think of this moving forward and totally embrace and internalize that fact. The decisions that we make today will determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. This morning, we're going to take a look at five principles that will help shape your story. We're going to look at five principles that will help shape your story. The thing is, many of us do not believe that we have a story to tell. And a lot of it is boiled down to the simple fact that we have no self-worth. And you have your handout, your worship guide there. On the back, you can see that your story is spelled out for you. And the first point that I want you to take this morning is the fact that you are significant. You are significant. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" The creator of the universe would stop and form man after his own image speaks to the fact that we as human beings are of some value. If we read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Here, we see our Lord outright telling us that you are of value. You are significant. Now, when you read that, you know, there's this misunderstanding that if a hair were to fall out, well, now instead of having 500 hairs on my head, I have 499 left. Now, while that may be true, let me tell you how intricately God knows who you are. It's not just the total number of hairs on your head that He knows. He knows which number fell out. He knows 156 is the one that fell out of your head. Now, some of us are missing quite a few. And I know that as a result of having children, I'm on my way there too. But if you continue to read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, it says, "What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray?" Think about your significance. If you were lost, Jesus would leave those sheep behind to search far and low to find you. That should speak of your significance. For many of us, it is difficult to imagine that we have a story worth telling. We read about all these individuals in the Bible and consider ourselves so small and insignificant that we could never measure up to those that lived before us. Yet what we have to say and do is a continuation of the story of God's plan being carried out through His people. Many people will balk at the thought of this point because it may seem self-righteous. It may seem as though this point would come out of a prosperity gospel message. The point here is not so that we feel good about ourselves. It is to realize the truth, and the truth is that I am of significance. Jesus Christ calls us to deny ourselves, meaning to say no to ourselves and yes to God. The reality is, before Christ, I was nothing. But saying yes to God in turn causes me to gain significance. This may seem paradoxical. It may not make sense. But I would like to further emphasize this point by singing out of the worship and celebration hymnal, song number 446. I am 35 years old, so I do know what a hymnal is. As a matter of fact, I kind of had to put some of these pages back in here because they were so worn. Now, I will warn you that I am not a singer. But this is a song that I know many of you are familiar with, and this will further emphasize your significance. And it goes like this. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing until you found me. You have given life to me. All right, that's enough, right? But the fact is, I was nothing until Christ found me. And in Christ, I am somebody. I have a number of statements that speak to our significance that I would like to share with you. I am the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. I am the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. I am a child of God, John 1:12. I am part of the true vine, a channel of Christ's life, John 15:5. I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit, John 15:16. I am a son of God, Romans 8:14. I am a joint heir with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him, Romans 8:17. I am a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am reconciled to God and a minister of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. I am God's workmanship, his handiwork, born anew in Christ to do his work, Ephesians 2:10. I am a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. There are many more that I could have shared with you this morning, but it would have taken the rest of this Sunday morning service to talk about who you are in Christ. And to further drive this point home of how significant you are, I have a little clip that I want to show you to remind you of this. Many of you have seen this movie before. It's called The Help, and it's a famous part of the movie that many of you will remember.
You are smart. You are important. You are smart. You are kind. You are important. That's so good.
Now, just change all those words to say significant. You are significant in Christ. And I hope you remember that because that's important. Because many of us today don't feel like we have a story to tell because we are not worth anything. We believe that my story has no value. My story is insignificant. And that's the reason why it is important to realize who you are as a child of God. The second point that I want to make this morning is you have a testimony. You have a testimony. Titus 3:3-7, it says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to this hope of eternal life." We were once lost. We were once foolish. We were once disobedient. And then God reached out and grabbed us. If that's not a story we're telling, I don't know what is. My mouth will tell you in Psalm 71, verse 15 through 18, it says, "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge.
With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. If you take a look at what the psalmist is writing there, he is talking about the fact that he will speak to the greatness of God and all that God has done for the psalmist until they are able to do that no more. We can learn something from that. And finally, 2 Timothy 1:8 through 9, it says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." Many times we fail to realize that our life is a living testimony of what the Lord has done for us. We have gone and are going through various trials and tribulations in our life, which speak volumes as an attestation of what the Lord has done and is doing in our lives. Here's the thing, you can't have a personal testimony without a test. For the month of January, the student ministry is actually going to go through a testimony series where some of our young adults are going to be given the opportunity to share their testimony with the students in the student ministry, sharing the life experiences and how God has brought them through certain trials and tribulations. Here's the thing, as we are sitting in this room, there are many of us that don't know each other's story. If I struggle with drug addiction, if I struggle with alcoholism, if I struggle with this, that, and the other, how would I know who to go to? How would I know who has been through the same issue that I have been through or am going through unless a story was shared? As a pastor, I cannot lie and say to a brother or sister that's struggling with something that I have not struggled with and say, "I know what you're going through." That would be a bold-faced lie. The reality is we are a community of believers. We are here to support one another in Christ, sharing this life as we journey together. And how can we do that if we are not open with our testimony? As I look throughout the congregation this morning, I know that we all have stories. But there are some of us where our story may be one of sorrow and pain. And this may be a season that you're going through. Many times we're more forthcoming with a prayer request and a need. And that's not a bad thing. But how often do we share the testimony or a praise report of what God has done for us in our life as he answers our prayers daily? We should be saying all day long, every day of our life, "Look what the Lord has done." That should be on the tip of our tongue every single day of our life. You may not feel that your testimony is of great value. Then I challenge you to go back to point number one and evaluate it. Because of who you are in Christ, your testimony speaks not of what you have done, but rather what he has done in you, through you, and for you, for his glory. And we hear that all the time. Whenever we say glory, we are including all the goodness of God. We speak of his glory and carry his glory. I have a little illustration here to help you remember this fact. One Sunday, as they drove home from church, a little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, there's something about the preacher's message this morning that I don't understand." The mother said, "Oh, what is it?" The little girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. He said God is so big that he could hold the world in his hands. Is this true?" The mother replied, "Yes, that's true, honey. But Mommy, he also said that God comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Is that true too?" Again, the mother assured the little girl that what the pastor had said was true. With a puzzled look on her face, the little girl then asked, "If God is bigger than us and lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" See, many times, my testimony, my story, doesn't necessarily have to be something that I share verbally. My testimony can be how I live my life. My testimony should speak to the fact that this God whom I serve is revealed through the actions of my life. Your testimony can be nonverbal and verbal. Number three, you are to present yourselves as an offering. Offering. Remember, the context of this is we are establishing ways to help formulate your story. And you are to present yourselves as an offering to do that. How many of you have done the hokey pokey? You know, I contemplated this idea of doing the hokey pokey in church, but we are Baptists and we don't dance. But, you know, it's where you put a right arm in and a left arm out and a left leg in and you shake something about. You know, it's something that we grew up with, and many of us know that. You know, I grew up with that. My children grew up with that. But there's something about it that speaks volumes, because at the end it says, "and put your whole self in." And that's very significant, this idea of putting your whole self into something. Typically, it's a circle, right? When you're playing the game. But when I think of that song and dance, I'm reminded of another instruction. This one from the Apostle Paul. He writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Here's the thing, folks. Jesus has always demanded one's all in following him. I'll say that again. Jesus has always demanded one's all when following him. He never made an exception, and if he did, it would have been the time the rich young man came to follow Jesus. Outwardly, the man had all the trappings that would make for a good follower. Inwardly, however, he was holding back. Jesus recognized that. He will not accept a partial commitment. He didn't then and he doesn't now. The Apostle Paul provides a theological framework here of what it means to follow Christ totally, and consequentially changes that it makes to a person's life. The thing is, we should be reminded that God solicits and calls for our unconditional surrender. How many of you are familiar with the term metamorphosis? It's a transformation that takes place when a caterpillar undergoes metamorphosis and becomes a butterfly. Does it go back to being a caterpillar? It does not. So this change that we read of here as we examine Romans is a change that you cannot go back on. Many times we see people walking the fence. What does that mean to walk the fence? Either you are or you aren't. There is no in between. Either a change has taken place or it hasn't. But this is significant in order for you to present yourselves as an offering. For example, most people do not come to a worship service prepared to give all of themselves over to God. We brought sins that need to be confessed and cleansed before we leave. We brought questions that need answers and problems that need solutions. We brought burdens that need lifted and anxieties that need to be dispelled. And frustrations and depression and boredom and preoccupations, all kinds of distractions. May I say that for most of us, it would be easier to take out our checkbook and double our offering that day than it is to totally give ourselves over to God. Now, you may ask, what does this have to do with my story? The fact is that in order for my story to be a true reflection of who He is, I must be totally and unconditionally committed to Him, offering myself as a perfect sacrifice, holy and set apart, forsaking all that which is evil. But is that something that I'm willing to do? In order for my story to be part of God's plan, I have to be willing to submit to His authority. Not just one arm or one leg, but I need to jump in with all of me. That's what it means to present yourselves as an offering. Number four, you play a role in the kingdom of God. You play a role in the kingdom of God. God has given you a job to do, and He considers you and your service important for His kingdom. The nature of the job itself, the role that you are given, is not what makes you important in His plans. See, here's the thing. In our human thinking, we associate a person's value directly related to the task that they are responsible for. But the fact is, it is not necessarily the task, but rather, it is how well you do what God has given you to do that determines its importance. You can't be successful in a God-given job apart from His leading and empowerment. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Many times we get discouraged because our story may seem not so sensational as these characters that we read in the Word of God. Many of you are familiar with the Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews. And we read about all the great things that these men and women of God did to advance the kingdom as they were part of God's plan. But the thing is, you need to remember that all of them had faults. All of them had failed. But because of the grace of God, they were utilized in God's plan. We are a body of believers, all with varying roles. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all are the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose." And the verses go on to say that each member of the body is of significance. Once again, if you don't realize your role, if you don't realize who you are in Christ, then you've missed it. And then this idea of having a story worth telling is lost. You are significant, You have a testimony. You are to present yourself as an offering. And you have a role to play in the kingdom of God. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve. You and I are here to serve. It is not what I can receive, but rather what I can give. I have had conversations with people asking me about their purpose in life. Many people have come to me and asked, Sam, I don't know what God has in store for me. I just wish He would reveal His plan for my life. And just because you are older doesn't mean that you don't ask that same question. I think we all ask that question. God, where is it that you want me to be? What is it that you want me to do? It seems to be a question that we all ask. Here's the thing. Many of us have used this phrase, I can't wait for the next chapter of my life. And in doing so, we fail to live out the chapter that we're in currently. We have to realize that God has us where He wants us, and we are to wholeheartedly live out the chapter that we're in today. People have asked me personally, where is God going to take you next, Sam? People have always asked me that question. What are you going to do tomorrow? And my answer has been the same. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. The fact is, I'm here today, and I'm going to do all that I can for the glory of God. In time and in space. And that's hard to do at times because many times we're not comfortable with where we are. We're not happy where God has us, and we want Him to take us to the next level. And I've shared this with the student ministry before, but it's like playing a video game. You know, we don't want to go through all the different levels to get to the final guy at the end of the game. We just want to get to the guy at the end of the game. But the reality is we have to play each level so it forms us and molds us to be a formidable foe, so when we do face the bad guy at the end of the game, we actually have a chance of winning. See, every day of our life forms us and molds us to be the person that God wants us to be. My wife and I have resolved to be totally committed to wherever, whatever it is that God has us do, whatever that role may be. And it is my prayer that we all adopt that principle. Let us resolve to live life to the fullest for the glory of God. And finally, number five, and then I close. All of this begins with you. All of this begins with you. Remember, this is your story. And it begins with you. Many times we fail to realize that God created us to take action. He didn't merely create a bunch of robots. He created man with the ability to make decisions. This idea of free will and choices that we can make. If we so choose to. The thing is, we need to turn intention into action. Many of us have good intentions. Many of us have great desires. Oh, I desire for this, I desire for that. But how do you take a desire and turn it into doing? Over the last couple of weeks, we had an opportunity to go to various places. We went to the Salvation Army last month, and we had an opportunity to work in the kitchen and serve those that were in need. Last Sunday, we had an opportunity to go and Christmas carol at the Bridge, which is an open shelter where people can come freely. And the reason why I'm sharing these things with you is because not everybody that came is a pastor. Not everybody that came is a theologian. Not everybody that came could sing, myself included. Not everybody that came had the ability to speak eloquently. But here's what they all had in common. They all had availability. They all had availability. See what it is, it begins with you by making yourself available to God. Our prayer this morning should be, "Here I am, God, use me. Give me a story to tell. Give me a story to share." We really don't owe God a mere 10% of our time and resources. We owe God 100% of it. I've shared this before and I'll share it again. Guys, we make time and spend resources on those things that we really want to do. People tell me all the time, "I don't have time." No, it's just that I don't have time for a certain thing. Guys, we need to make time. God took the time to come from the heavens down to earth, making the time for us. And God is asking us for our time. If what you want to do and what you are actually doing is in line with God's plan, then you will have a story worth sharing. Let's turn when into now. Typically, when people pass away is when we start sharing stories of how they lived. Many of us have been to a funeral, and we want to talk about, after they're dead and gone, the kind of life that they lived. And the reality is, once you're gone, you're not writing your story anymore. See, here's the thing. It could be last year. It could be last month. Or it could be yesterday. The fact is, yesterday's page number is already accounted for. I cannot go back to yesterday and relive that day. So to the point that I just made, let us make a decision here and now to start writing the story of our life, to be in line with God's plan and live out who He has called me to be, so that not just when I'm dead and gone, but when I walk into a room, people know that I have a story to share and it speaks to the glory of God. I have one more clip that I would like to show you to drive home this last point.
So many stories fill the pages of life. Some chapters you can be proud to tell. Others you'd rather skip. The day life really turns a page is when you let God be the author of your story. Let God write your story, and you'll live a story worth telling.
Earlier, when we read God's promise, we read about how Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. This is an opportunity this morning as we go to the Lord, as we take this time to evaluate and examine our life. Are we at a point where we are willing to turn our life over and let God be the author of it? Are we willing to take ourselves off of this pedestal and allow God to take that place? I know in my life there are times where I need to remember that I am not in control. I am not in charge. As a father, I try to take all this responsibility and I tend to take it away from God. And many times I fail to realize that I need to turn this over to God. So I don't know your situation this morning personally, but there may be some of you in this room that do not feel as though you are significant, and that is because you don't know this Jesus Christ that I'm talking about. Well, this altar is open for you. Without Christ, you are nothing. And there are those of you this morning, you may not recognize that you have a testimony to share. Or maybe you do know that you have one, but you have not been forthcoming with it. And you need to take this time to ask God to forgive and give you the boldness to share that testimony. Maybe you have not committed yourself wholeheartedly and presented yourself as an offering. And for many of us, maybe we haven't recognized our role in the body of Christ. And we are praying for God to reveal what it is that He wants us to do. It is my prayer that we recognize that all of this starts with you. It starts with us. It starts with me. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, I want to thank you, Lord, for your message this morning. God, as we go into this time of invitation, I pray that you touch our hearts. Lord, this altar is not merely open as a ritualistic experience, but rather it is an opportunity to come to your feet and submit to your authority. God, we want to have a story to tell, a story that is worth telling, and it is only worth telling because of what you have done and who you are. God, I pray that every day of our life, we take and seize that opportunity to share that story. God, I pray, Lord, that you touch our hearts and seal these words in our hearts. I pray, God, that every life in this room has a story worth telling. In your name we pray.